Delighted to welcome to the studio Mr. Frank Shinnick, representing the Irish Freedom Party. Frank, how are you today?
Great, and much appreciated opportunity to give points of view.
Well, it's an opportunity we afford to all the candidates, Frank. No special treatment. There's 13 names on the ballot paper, and part of the station's policy was to invite you all in to present yourselves to the people of Yall and environs, and that's that. You have been kind enough to bring us a gift for our canteen here, Frank, because you are a cheese manufacturer and you've brought us some cheese. Do you want to tell us a bit about the cheese itself and what you do?
Yeah, well, what we do is we were 25 years now making raw milk cheese, and most farmhouse cheese people, they pasteurise it, okay? And we also do for maybe last 10 years raw milk, and it's not very popular with the Department Against Agriculture, as I call them. Interestingly enough, it was actually my first customer about 10 years ago was from Yall. And no one mentioned any names, and she had a child that had eczema, very bad, about a year and a half, you know, went off breast milk and onto what I call dead milk, you know. This is pasteurised milk, it's actually dead milk, you know. And she had friends in America in the Western Prize Foundation, and that's a sort of an organisation in America that promotes natural foods, you know. And it was based after this guy, Dr. Weston Price, who did a lot of research on communities that had no influence from modern food at the time, going back, you know, in the 40s and the 50s in America.
Okay, so there'd be little pockets of communities here and there, say, might have been more self-reliant.
His first one was the Rocher Valley in Switzerland, and this is where the Swiss Guard, the Pope's Swiss Guard, they come from, and it was so high up, you know, people would have to walk up there with sugar and that kind of stuff, you know. So they were still eating
up the mountains.
What they've been doing for now, it's probably different. But what he found was, like, they had no tooth decay, compared to, you know, a mile down where the trains actually came and sugar had come. So he found that there was a huge tooth decay in kids and stuff. So this lady wanted to get raw milk, and I was at a conference in Prague, European raw milk conference. I know the guy who gave it, Professor Tom Bars, and there was a lot of stuff on papers on raw milk, preventing asthma and preventing eczema, and it was actually cut. Sort of health costs massively if everyone drank raw milk, provided the raw milk is very, very top class clean. That's the proviso, you know.
Okay. And well.
I finished on that. The lady within sort of 3 weeks, the eczema completely gone, and so she was coming for about 2 months, and then she disappeared, and then she came back after about a month. So she went on holidays to Dublin. Child broke out in eczema again. The minister went on dead milk, you know. And to me, it's not really the raw milk that's curing it, but it's the dead milk that's definitely causing it, you know.
Yeah, and you're using that phrase about dead milk. It's not the phrase that the general population would use. They just call the pasteurised milk, which is approved by the relevant bodies.
The people who are supposed to be protecting our health are actually, you know, are destroying our health, you know. This is my opinion on it, you know.
And who exactly are you referring to when you say to the people who are supposed to be? Are you talking about doctors and nurses?
No, not really. European Food Safety Authority would be one. And H2 milk, we might get a chance to talk about that. Near the end is another sort of topic that's going to cause the complete destruction of the dairy industry in Ireland. Okay, we'll come back to that one in a minute. We're making raw milk cheese for 25 years, exporting 60% of it to England, you know. And
so you're a businessman, Frank, and you're a dairy farmer, and you're a cheese producer, and you have a very niche product within the dairy sector.
Yeah, we make about five or six different types. We're sort of unique, but we stopped in 2014. It just got, you know, I couldn't collect money. Loads of people went belly up, you know. And wasn't
I remember it well, Frank. I remember it well.
You know, the bank bailout did a lot of destruction to the private sector. Private sector only, like, took the rep for this. You know?
Frank, you've presented.
This is why I'm canvassing really as someone in the private sector. You know.
Well, this is what I want to ask you, Frank. Mm-hmm. You've an interesting story, obviously. You've an interesting perspective on the world, But why are you bringing these ideas into the political realm? Do you think we need political representation to get some of these issues changed at European or Irish national level?
Well, I look at it as, you know, at 66, at around 60, I started doing some serious navel gazing, you know.
What did you see in your navel, Frank?
I saw a lot of bad stuff, you know, as a food producer, and I saw an extreme con job. And so I can...
Frank,
I have
the Frank, that needs an explanation. What is the con job, please?
A con job is... Origin Green is a con job.
Say that again,
Origin
please.
Green.
Origin
Green. Brought in by Coveney. Simon Coveney brought this in. It was brought in to facilitate his uncle-in-law, you know, of the beef corporatocracy, you know. And
are you suggesting that Simon Coveney is changing public policy to accommodate the desires of his family?
Well, it looks that way. I mean, we can take a look at some of his stuff.
Simon Coveney isn't here to defend himself, and God bless me, I'm not here to defend or advocate for him, nor have I done any research on the issue.
I'll just give you a couple of facts, right? On two of our Cork political ministers and junior ministers, okay? One was Ned O'Keefe. And
Ned O'Keefe's no longer active in politics.
Yeah, his son is running, you know. It's kind of like nepotism.
His son is a TD.
His son is TD, yeah. He's running again, you know.
Kevin O'Keefe.
going back, you know, there's a very good saying, like, those who ignore history repeat it at their peril, you know. And I see this happening again. And just a little bit of history was the meat and bone meal fiasco, okay? And
we're talking about the first beef tribunal, the first tribunal in Ireland, the first tribunal of inquiry in Ireland way back in time. Was it the 80s, Frank?
No, this was after the beef tribunal. And I just want to mention one important fact on this. And, you know, there was a pig farmer near Ned, okay? There's only about 10 really serious pig farmers in the country now. It's gone so intensive, okay? And... like, to survive, people had to go intensive, okay? Not very good for the animal, you know, but...
There are animal welfare concerns in intensive pork production.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, in our production, you know.
And in all agricultural production.
Yeah.
Including your own.
Yeah, well, I'm very aware of... I will be getting out of cows, of milking cows in 2 years. I'm 66, so 68, because I will no longer, at that age, be able to look after animals the way I think... they should be looked after. Do you understand?
Is that a function of your ageing process, Frank?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just that I don't think it'd be good for the animals that I wouldn't be really up to it, particularly because I have a disability. I have two disabilities, you know. I want to mention this. So this guy, he was, they got rid of meat and bone meal, supposed to have been, okay? Everyone was told this. And this farmer, he was still using it. And so he got prosecuted. And he tried to get a licence, but he couldn't get a licence, you know. And so this guy, he got prosecuted because the license was only for a couple of the select people, you know.
A license to
use meat and bone meal.
Okay.
It was banned, but, you know, it wasn't banned for everyone, let's say, you know.
Ned actually
was using meat and bone meal, and his neighbour was doing the same thing, like, and he gets prosecuted. I think this is complete farce.
Okay, Frank, you're after making a statement there that I can't stand over because I don't know the facts of the case, and you're after suggesting
it was published afterwards on newspapers. The second one is, we say, take the Simon Coveney and stuff, you know, and he brought in this Origin Green and quality assurance, and this is going to be the thing that was going to stabilise and help the price of beef. In actual fact, it did the exact opposite, okay? And when they brought it out about 10 years ago, they sent a man from Borbia, who is now retired, okay, and going around the country trying to sell this idea to farmers, and everyone swallowed the nonsense, really, you know. I have another word for it, but we're on radio. it was complete nonsense. But what it did, like, it put farmers into... there's nothing in quality assurance, okay. I'm a cheesemaker, like, I'm into food. I probably know more about food than most other farmers, okay.
Well, quality assurance for your product, you need to assure yourself that the quality, you need to be able to assure the customer.
The only assurance that I'm concerned about is actually testing, right? All there is ticking boxes, like ticking boxes. It's a waste of time. Like it's just heads up and a whole lot. It's a complete. It's just jobs for the boys, you know.
You're saying HACCP is, hang on just a second. The HACCP is the hygiene regulations which apply in the restaurant trade and in the food trade. Are you seriously suggesting that hygiene regulations are a waste of time in the food business?
Well, a lot of it is overdone.
You're telling me, I'll
give you an example, right?
Surely when I go out to eat, I'm entitled to know that everyone in the restaurant has HACCP approved and certified, and I can be reassured that there's no hygiene issues in the restaurant. Surely that's a good thing.
Yeah, I went into a McDonald's one Sunday.
Why did you do that, Frank?
You know, or a fast food one, you know, and in the toilet, it was from sort of open at 9 o'clock, and there was nothing ticked. And on the way out, I went back again, and they were all ticked. So it's just ticking boxes, like.
Okay, so you're not complaining about the regulations per se. You're complaining about one particular example in one particular restaurant.
It guarantees nothing. Yeah,
where?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What you have here is you have Origin Green, okay, and. It doesn't say that you say it could be Irish stamped as Irish beef, okay, in your restaurant, okay, but you know there's no proof, it doesn't say it is Irish, because this chicken can come in from Thailand and it is and goes into this is what you eat in your restaurant, okay, you know?
And there's a difference between produced in Ireland and made in or packed in Ireland or grown in Ireland. I know there's differences in the terminology and the labelling.
There isn't, because. I wanted to sell my cheese. I was on to board maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and I wanted to use this guaranteed Irish. You see, I was selling most of my stuff into England, 60% of it, and they said this is not allowed. This is not allowed anymore. The EU doesn't allow this anymore. Like, you know? So then they came up with this thing, Origin Green, and it didn't stabilise the price. Okay, what it did is it put farmers into serfdom. Okay, now. Aldi, Lidl and Tesco, who control about 75% of what Irish people are eating, okay? So you're foreign multinationals doing this, okay? And what it really did is it made the beef corporatocracy, as I call them, okay? They can control everything now. They can say, we don't want it from farmers that are under 40 cows, or we don't, you know. So it's been a very sinister and evil bit of stuff. And the only advice I'd give to farmers who went on protesting against the beef factories, the first thing they should have done was throw out this bit of toilet paper, you know, because that's what it is. It's a complete piece of toilet paper. And I'll tell you one other thing is the person who sold this concept, okay, who from Borby, I was just checking out, he's now is retired, he's gold paid a pension and whatever, you know, and I just checked up recently what he was doing. He was doing consultancy now for one of the beef farms. Very nice, you know. But I call it the revolving door. Yeah, you know? I call it the revolving door. And no one looks at the revolving door, you know, but it's massive in this country. It's in all our quangos. So
the revolving door is the process whereby former public servants or people in various companies move on to a similar role, maybe in a different organisation with the same specialist knowledge base.
And
we're all entitled to earn a living, Frank. You're standing as a candidate in the general election. Listeners, I am talking to Frank Shinnick of the Irish Freedom Party as part of CRY's ongoing coverage of general election 2020. Frank, surely we're all entitled to make a career and make a go of it in the world and make the best of the world as we see it with our qualifications and our skill base. You can't be complaining about a lad taking a job, surely.
Not really. What's happening here is that the quality assurance, okay, we have now, after bringing this in, farmers now have the lowest price, okay? It's a complete, you know, this is why the people went out on and they can't sell their beef, you know? Yeah.
Frank, can we move on a little bit from agriculture,
on the Coveney legacy?
Okay with you, we've covered.
No, there's two things.
Frank, if it's all right with you, I'd like to.
Okay, yeah.
You're my guest in my studio.
Yeah.
I want to get a diversity of your political perspective.
Lovely,
I think the listeners have a great impression of your concerns about some of the practices and policies in the agri-food sector.
Yeah.
And I think we've covered that in detail, if it's all right with you. So I'd like to move on.
Yeah, the one very important thing here is the complete waste of taxpayers' money, the TB scheme.
Okay, Frank.
Can we talk about that? one.
No, well, let's broaden the conversation because agriculture is very important.
Yeah.
We've only half an hour, Frank. We've only a few minutes left, and you are standing for election to represent all the people of East Cork, not just the people in the farm and agri food sector, with particular concerns and particular gripes and problems with the way things are within that sector. Frank, you're not a career politician. I want to get to know you a little bit.
Yes.
All these campaigns and issues that you referred to over the year, have you been out in protests? Have you been going to meetings? Have you been lobbying politicians? Have you been playing the game to get your point of view across? Or have you been waiting for this moment to launch yourself as a political career?
Yeah, I've lobbied politicians on numerous occasions on this TV one in particular, and on a way I was treated as a person with a disability, I was mistreated. Okay, and this is one of the reasons I'm actually standing. Okay, and I was forced. Okay, I was forced to walk 2 miles. Okay, by what they call themselves officers now. They call themselves officers from the department under a cross-compliance inspection, okay?
Do you mind me asking, Frank, you don't have to answer this if you don't, but would you like to share what your disability is, or would you rather not?
No, I can, yeah. I have a broken ankle, okay? And I have a Dupuy hip. So the Dupuy hip is one of these faulty hips, okay? And everyone I know has it lost. But
are you talking about an artificial hip?
Artificial hip, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Dupuy.
So your mobility is compromised by virtue of your hip and your ankle. So you've been through some of the health sector issues that we have in our community.
They called me, it was an announced inspection, and so I told them if they came back another day, I would have the cows and all the animals in a nearer place, so that I'd be able to visit them a lot better. And they told me that if I didn't comply on the day, that I would lose all my subsidy. Okay, and this isn't an isolated incident. I know.
Is this a pre-arranged regulatory visit, or is it a stop?
No, it's not pre-arranged. It's an unannounced inspection. Okay,
yeah. and it's to assure the department that standards are being upheld on your enterprise.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that in itself is a good thing.
In this particular case, I actually had to take an oral hearing to find they actually deducted money off me. Okay. And I inquired why they deducted money off, and they said under section this and this and that, okay, which didn't explain to me why they deducted money off me, okay. So I actually demanded, I got an oral hearing eventually off them, you know. And there are two things in this, okay. First, I was bringing a journalist, okay, to the oral hearing, okay, and they cancelled the oral hearing, okay. Well, I found that a bit strange, you know. And the second one is I requested prior to this what were the qualifications of these people under veterinary and engineering, okay? And they refused to give their qualifications, okay? So I think if someone comes on my farm, I'm entitled to know their qualifications, okay? You know, if they have their leaving cert even, okay? And the third thing in the oral hearing, they produced a map, okay? And in that map, the dates were taken out of the map, okay? So that map was irrelevant. It had nothing to do with the day of the test at all. They interfered with this map, okay? I'm very concerned of what's going on here. And
Frank, are you running for office to Dáil Éireann because you're disgruntled at the way you've been treated by various agencies of the state, or are you offering the people of East Cork a coherent political platform to advance the cause of the community?
It's both, really, like, because
I'm not hearing anything from you, Frank,
yes,
about how the wider community in East Cork would benefit from you representing them. I'm hearing you representing a lot of your personal issues here today.
That's right. We leave the personal issues in, okay? And let me help you with this, Frank.
You are not running as an independent. You're not running for one of the major parties. You're running for an organisation called the Irish Freedom Party.
No? Yeah.
Now, what is it about the Irish Freedom Party that has attracted you? Is it a forum for people who are upset by the way they've been treated by the state? Or are there any coherent policies embedded in that party?
Yeah, the party is quite new. And it was kind of a party that kind of developed out of the Brexit, okay? And, some people in this country think that that we joined the EU, okay, as a common market, okay? So we were selling our stuff. And what's after happening is it's become a complete bureaucratic mess, okay? And now we're we're actually putting more money into the EU than they're giving to us, okay? And the one thing that really happened here is, first of all, we lost 200 billion, right? This is not my figure now. We lost 200 billion in the fisheries alone, okay?
Yeah.
The next one then is what happened is they brought in milk quotas, okay? And this was the only country in Europe that had the potential to increase milk at the time, you know. And that whole thing destroyed the complete structure of agriculture. And we're getting back to agriculture again. Complete. Anyone that had the potential to sort of, all these people, all that generation of farmers were just wiped out. They were lucky enough at the time there was a Celtic Tiger going on, that they were, you know, they got into the building sector and stuff, okay?
Are you not buying the line that the economy is robust and 120,000 odd farmers in Ireland are doing well?
I see a lot of farmers like I'll take one thing that really annoys me about the EU thing, okay, and I call it the Stellan farm policy, okay. So you give right $500,000 to one farmer, okay, and particularly the beef feedlots, okay, owned by the beef corporatocracy again, as I call
this
it.
This is through the Common Agriculture Policy, the check
huge,
in the post.
It's a huge one, yeah. And then you give a guy with sucklers, okay, you give him 4,000 or 5,000, okay. You know who's going to cannibalise who, okay. And the disaster here is, it's an environmental disaster, okay. The disaster here is the guy with the sucklers, okay, has the best beef, okay. It's high in omega-3, okay? It's very high in omega-3. They're on grass and on clover, okay? So they have very low methane emissions, okay? This is work done in Keele University, okay? I've come across it recently, okay? The beef in the feedlots, okay? It's all fed genetically modified, okay? Which is the worst environmental disaster we have, you know, in mankind, okay?
But it's not all genetically.
The second thing is, it's high. It's high in methane gas because they're fed corn, okay? And I never saw anyone distilling or making beer from grass. It's all made from grains, okay? And if you put grains into a huge amount of grains, as they do in the feedlots, into you get a huge amount of methane. So this is just this whole sort of subsidies like is actually destroying agriculture, okay?
Okay.
It has destroyed it.
And that's the party policy of the Irish Freedom Party is to abolish farm subsidies.
It's not to abolish farm policy,
but to
distribute them more evenly, like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have to give the beef barons. I mean, okay. They have enough anyway, like, you know?
You made a statement there that all the feed going into the animals is genetically modified, but that's not the case. Isn't it the case that genetically modified sourced material is mixed up with non-genetically modified sourced material? And so it's not 100% of the feed is genetically modified.
All the soya coming into Ireland, 99%.
Yeah.
99%. That's near enough to all of it, okay? It's genetically modified, okay? It's coming in from the United States. No, this is what really annoys me about this supposed to be traceability. I wanted to find out about 6 or 7 years ago. I was making the decision not to use soy. I was using soy and it wasn't GMO. And then this GMO thing came in, okay? And I'm the only farmer in the country that really knows about this, okay? Most of them, they're just sold this by their co-ops and stuff, okay? And I tried to trace what they were selling me, okay? Yeah. The only traceability is in the farm, okay? They have made a complete traceability. Outside that, if you ask where this soy, if you get a bag of ration from any of the co-op, okay, and ask where any of those ingredients come, they can't tell you. Nothing changed. Nothing changed since BSE. Nothing changed.
Frank,
only in the farms.
Frank, can I move on can I move the discussion on for the last five minutes, right?
Yeah.
You're obviously very concerned about agri-food issues.
Yeah.
And matters relating to the small farmer. And I hear the passion in your voice. But what about the other substantial issues facing our community? What are you proposing for the people of East Cork on the homelessness and housing crisis?
Yeah, we definitely have to free up on the planning. And if is there anyone, I know one or two people that wanted to get a planning permission, you know, for their daughter for a house, like, and they couldn't get it. There is this strategy, okay? There is this strategy that we were only going to have development in like Cork, Limerick, definitely around Dublin, okay? And, you know, we're going to sterilise the rest of the country, okay? Like Yall, for example.
When you say sterilise, what do you mean by sterilise?
It's very hard to get planning permission, you know? It's you know, even the county development plans, it's, you know, they're not really giving.
Are you suggesting we should allow people to build anything they want, anywhere they want?
I'm suggesting we definitely have to free it up, for sure, you know? I go to Dublin a lot, and not a lot, but every now and then, and I see so many people now in the city, okay, and you have them in Cork as well, and it, you know, only for sort of charity organisations, it would be actually much worse, you know, And in actual fact, St. Vincent de Paul have done recently, they've done a study of the homelessness in Ireland, and it's much, much worse than we think. Like, you know, we should look after our own people first, you know. And
our own people are the people who live here.
People who live here, yeah. Okay. Irish people, like, you know.
Yeah, and but let's tease that out, because one of the critiques of your party is that it has an anti-immigrant perspective. Was that fair? Is that a fair critique?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, that's an unfair comment, you know. And well, it's a comment about people who know absolutely nothing about the party anyway, you know.
Well,
I have in my farm, okay, and I have now people from, worked on my farm as students and stuff, from 37 different countries. You know, so I don't think someone can tell me that I'm anti, you know, foreign people or whatever. In actual fact, my wife isn't Irish either, you know. So no one can say that I'm sort of anti-European or anti other people coming into the country. Like, provided they're not a burden to the country, you know. You must remember this, provided the people that we bring in aren't a burden to the country. And I spent 9 months... I had a very good student, and we were starting back making cheese again, and he had a couple of unique cheeses which we're developing at the moment, okay? And he was interested in coming over, and I was interested in getting it because he had stuff that no one else in Ireland was making, okay? Took me 9 months to get him a permit. It cost me €1,000. I didn't really mind, okay?
So I did everything at
66. This is a very important point, like, people, that, you know, unless people at my age are being kind of shoved out on the limbs, okay? I'm very lucky that I actually have so many students, because I'm quite good at computers. But I know people, you know, they have no clue on computers. So if you, to make that application, okay, to the Department of employment and whatever, I can't even remember if it was now, I actually went to Dublin one time. I couldn't understand one of the questions and fill it up, okay, properly, okay? And I had two other people give me a hand on this, and we couldn't fill it up properly. So I went to Dublin, and I was in Dublin anyway, so I called to the office, like, they hadn't an office, like, they didn't leave people in. You had to do it online, or else, you know, go to hell, you know?
So you've got first hand experience of the difficulties that people have in getting into the country and finding a way to make a living.
And two applications to actually get the guy out. So I lost 9 months production, okay? I want to go back over bureaucracy, like, you know? Yeah.
Frank, it's the last minute of our interview. We've given each and every one of the 13 candidates in the Cork East constituency an opportunity to come in to talk to myself or one of my fellow presenters.
Yeah, I really appreciate that,
yeah. Here on Community Radio, y'all. We're doing our best to give every candidate a perspective. In the minutes that's remaining, Why would a person in Cork East vote for Frank Shinnick and the Irish Freedom Party in this general election Saturday?
Not alone do we want to make change, and I especially after Obama, I hate this word change, because there's no point, you know, I'll step in if you step out again, okay? What we need radical reform. We need radical reform, and we need to do radical reform. For example, one thing that slipped in during the bank crisis was referral charges, like, and... you know, they weren't there before that. I think we should get rid of referral charges.
Referrals for what?
We say if you had a check from someone that went in, okay, and that check bounced, okay,
bank charges
on that, like, you know, it's a nasty thing. It wasn't there before.
So,
you know?
This was
the appreciation the bank sector had for us bailing them out. You know, this was, you know.
Frank Shinnick, representing the Irish Freedom Party, thank you so much for coming in to the studios of Community Radio, y'all, today. I wish you all the best on the poll on Saturday, as I do to all your fellow candidates. We applaud everyone who stands up in front of the electorate and presents themselves and their ideas for consideration.